wife or what have you. Make sure that you have enough. Well, I will move down a little closer then. Just before we begin this morning, let's ask God's blessing on our study today. Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity that once again we can come. We can come into thy presence in this building. Collectively, Lord, we can open your word and we can allow you to speak to our hearts from it. We pray, Father, that your word will be an encouragement, a blessing, a challenge to our hearts today, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, this morning to the 4th chapter of James. We're going to be using that this morning as the basis of the continuation of our study. 4th chapter of James. Just before we read that this morning, for the benefit of those who weren't here last Sunday, and I always like to do this, it not only helps those of us that were here to recall what we studied last week, but as well to help those of you who were not here to see what we're looking at. We began a series last Sunday, short series, because I'm just going to be here. How quickly time flies, as a matter of fact. This is my second Sunday already. Be here one more Sunday with you, and hopefully we will finish it. We're studying a personal relationship with God. A personal relationship with God. We suggested last Sunday that nowhere in the Bible do we read, per se, a personal relationship with God. But what we do read in the Bible are areas of life that you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, can understand through His Word that will draw us personally into a relationship with Almighty God. We suggested as well that the relationship with God has the same characteristics that exist between mutual friends. We all have friends in life. But there are times in our life when we have very close friends. And it is through these close friends that there is a mutual recognition. In other words, we know each other. Not just in a casual manner, but we know each other very closely. We have a mutual openness. We can approach each other. Whatever may be happening in our lives, we can approach each other, we can talk to each other about it, and know that each other will understand. We can share, we have mutual interest, we share with each other. And then we suggested we also have mutual respect. We honor each other. Also suggested last week that our actions, the actions that we take, will show that we believe that friend is a kind of person that we want, number one, in our homes, in our plans for our lives, in our laughter, and in our tears. That's a personal relationship. And that's exactly what God wants between you and I as His children. He wants us to have that relationship with Him, where the actions of our lives will show that He is indeed the important part of our homes. That He is indeed the important part of our lives. That in the times of our laughter, He's there. And in the times of our tears, our sorrow, He's there as well. Now, it's up to you and I as individuals to live our lives so that we may experience this close relationship with our Lord. We suggested last week that there were 6 areas that the Scriptures say that are essential to believers for a closer walk with God and a deep personal relationship with Him. We looked at a couple of areas, and I'm just going to go over it briefly for your information. The first area we looked at last Sunday was there must be a spiritual relationship. A spiritual relationship. The Bible tells us that a carnal mind is enmity with God. In other words, we must have that spiritual relationship with God in order to understand Him, in order to know who He is, in order to know what He wants from our lives, and in order to receive from Him what He has in store for our lives. We suggested that in that spiritual relationship, we don't have to see Him visibly. We don't have to see Him visibly, because He reveals Himself to us through His Word, through our understanding of His Word. We suggested as well, we don't have to hear Him audibly. He speaks to us not only through His Word, He speaks to us through nature, through many things in our lives. We suggested as well that to be close to God is not a matter of location. Many people are of the opinion that in order to be close to God, we have to come into the house of God. That's not so. We as believers can be close to God no matter where we are. We don't have to come to a church, per se. We have God with us. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit lives within the heart and lives of the believer. And the Holy Spirit is not just an outside child. The Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead. The Godhead, a part of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so He is a part of the Godhead. And He lives within our hearts and lives. And so as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't have to come to church to meet Him. We bring Him with us when we come, as well as we carry Him with us wherever we go. In James 4:8, James writes, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." The psalmist David writes, and we gave references in our scriptures, that nearness to God is not location, but a place in our hearts and our lives for Him. Also, we suggested that to know God is not a matter of knowing all about Him. It's not a matter of knowing all about Him. You know, I know, and perhaps you know, a lot of people that knows this scripture from cover to cover. They can stand and argue with you and perhaps astound many men of God who think they know the scriptures. But the sad part about it is, they don't know the God of whom they talk about, because they don't have that spiritual relationship, that close personal relationship. They've never made a commitment in their lives to God. And we can't understand God until we make a commitment in our lives and begin to know Him by studying His Word. Secondly, we suggested last week that there must be a Christ-centered relationship. A Christ-centered relationship in our lives. The Bible teaches us that the world hates God. The world hates the things of God. The world hates the people of God, as a matter of fact. In John chapter 15 and verse 18, the Lord Jesus reminds us of this. He says, the world hated Me, and so they're going to hate you. And so this morning, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the world hates us. The world system is anti-God. And therefore, you and I, as believers, our lives should not be centered around a system of this world, but our lives should be centered around Jesus Christ. He should be the center of our lives. Christ-centered in order for that relationship. Christianity, we suggested, is Christ and Him alone. And we also suggested that the Apostle Paul, his obsession was not with a system. Paul's obsession was not with a system. Unfortunately, this happens so many times in the believers' lives. We get involved in a system. A system. Paul was not involved with a system. Paul was obsessed with Jesus Christ, with the one that he had come to know on a personal basis, with the one that had spoken to him through a blinding light on that road to Damascus that day. He had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And he did not confine himself to the systems of the world or even the systems of the religious structure that was around him. We get caught up so often in religious structures and we lose out because we're not in Jesus Christ. We're not involved with Jesus Christ as we ought to be. And so you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus, our obsession should not be with the systems, but with the one that we've come to know in a personal way. We have to realize that Christ is always there. And we gave areas of this. There is no question that a personal relationship with God must be a Christ-centered relationship. Now this morning, we want to look at James chapter 4 for two more areas in our personal relationship with the Lord. James chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. In other words, we've got to surrender. We've got to surrender our lives to God. We just can't come halfway. We just can't commit ourselves halfway. We can't sit on a fence, as it were, and half of us submitted on this side to the world, and this half is submitted to the Lord. It doesn't work. He says, submit yourselves. Surrender yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. In other words, if we want that relationship with God, it's got to be that desire in my heart, that desire in your heart, to know more about him and to find ways to be more like him, to draw to him. And the more that God sees the intents and the thoughts of our hearts, it's just draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. The closer we get, the closer he comes. That's relationship. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. We want to suggest this morning that there must be a submissive relationship. A submissive relationship. We must be willing to submit our lives to the Lord. We should not be a rebellious or disobedient people. The desire of our hearts should be to know more like him. The desires of our hearts should be to follow his word, to obey his leading in our lives, to put him first and foremost in our lives. You see, the designer of human life is not satisfied to be just one of the gods. He's not satisfied to be just one of the gods. He will not share his honor with anyone else because no one deserves that honor. And we see this. We see this from the beginning. We see this in the commandments that God gave to Moses, in the first three commandments, if you read them. You see where God has set in himself to be first. Serve the Lord. Honor the Lord. Obey the Lord. Put him first in our hearts and our lives. In this little manual that I have, it suggests that a husband who is content to be just one of the boys in his wife's eyes isn't much of a husband. Neither is a woman much of a wife if she is satisfied to be just one of the girls. And the idea is this, that a marriage relationship carries with it a great sense of mutual commitment. A mutual commitment. that will have a bearing on all of that couple's activities and relationships. There must be that submissive relationship if your marriage is going to work. And such is the same with our relationship with Almighty God. If our relationship with God is going to grow, if we are going to be more like Him each day of our lives, if individuals on the outside are going to be able to look at us and see Jesus Christ living in us, we must be submissive to His will and His way for our lives. How do we do this? God is to be feared more than all others. We must fear God. A relationship with God begins with a fear that will drive us to the safety, the certainty, and the enjoyment of His love. I'll say that again. A relationship with God begins with a fear that will drive us to the safety, the certainty, and the enjoyment of His love. Now we might say, fear God? Why should we fear God? We're believers, and God is a God of love. But that's why we need to learn to fear Him. That fear will drive us to Him, will draw us to Him. From that fear, we will experience His love. We will experience a relationship. We will experience the joy of His love. If we don't fear Him, then what do? We go out and we get involved in the things of the world, the things that are contrary to His teachings, to His Word. And slowly we begin, as the psalmist David writes, we begin to lose the joy of the Lord out of our lives. And the Word of God says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So if we don't have the joy of the Lord in our lives, we don't have a relationship with Him. We're trying to live according to our way and our will and not God's way. And we're not fearing God. We're not obeying His Word. The Word that is there before us. This fear might be described as the first step to a personal relationship with God. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, we find these words. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's a desire, I trust, of every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ to know more about Him. To understand His Word. To understand His will for our lives. By doing so, we get knowledge, that knowledge of God. But if we don't fear Him, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And we end up not where we ought to be. We end up in situations in life where there are those that can come up to us and trip us up in our beliefs and in many areas of our Christian life because of the simple fact that we don't fear the Lord the way we ought. We don't understand Him. We don't get into His Word as we ought to do. Fear and knowledge of God go hand in hand. Those who know the Lord must take Him seriously. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 58. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 58. It says, and these are the words of God to the children of Israel. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy troubles wonderful or tremendous, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, the Lord will bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. In other words, God is saying, you must obey me. You must obey my word. You must obey the words of this law. And then they only had the law. Today you and I have God's Word from Genesis to Revelation. And in this Word of God, there for the believer, is instructions on how to live for God. Every day of our lives, of how God expects you and I to live for Him. How God expects you and I to walk the road of life for Him. And it's all there. And we need to read it. We need to learn it. We need to fear. And we need to obey God. Secondly, we see that God is to be loved, trusted, and obeyed more than all others. The God that we serve is to be loved, trusted, and obeyed more than all others. In order to have a submissive relationship in our lives to Him, we've got to love Him. We've got to love Him more than just a lip service. It's got to come from deep in our hearts. It's got to come from a commitment in our lives. We've got to learn to trust Him. Not just when things go wrong in our lives, that we fall on our knees and cry out to God, but trust Him every day for every situation of our life, no matter how small it might be. God wants us to trust Him, unfortunately, so often, and we all do it in our lives. We just seem to try to take care of everything that's happening in our lives and our homes until we get to a point where we find that I can't do it. Then we go to God. That's not what God wants. That's not a relationship with God. We can look at it in this manner. If our children or our families or someone we love is having a problem in their lives and they're fighting that battle on their own and they don't come and talk to us, we get upset. Why didn't you come sooner? Why didn't you let me know what was happening in your life? Perhaps I could have helped you. I could have done something that would help you out of that situation, but we don't. And we do the same thing with God. We do the same thing with God because we don't trust Him as we are. And beloved, from personal experience in my life, and I'm sure many of you have gone through many similar experiences, we can trust God for any situation in life, whether it be small or great, and know without a doubt that God is always there. Sometimes He answers our prayers right away. Sometimes not for a while. And then perhaps sometimes He laughs at us because of the foolishness of what we ask for. But we leave it with God. We leave it with Him. We have to learn to trust Him, knowing that He knows what is best for our own personal lives. We have to obey Him as well. Not only love Him, not only trust Him, but obey Him. Unfortunately, obedience is something that we tend to resist. We just tend to resist obeying the Lord in many areas of our lives. But obedience is a way of showing that we know the Lord and that we're growing in the knowledge of the Lord. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2. And verse 3. It says, and hereby we do know that we know Him. How? If we keep His commandments. That's how I know that I know Him. That's how you know that you know Him. If we obey Him. If we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments. And there's some strong words. These are some strong words that John using here. He says, if we say we know Him and we don't keep His commandments, we're a liar. And the truth is not in us. Beloved, serving the Lord is a serious business. Serving the Lord is not to be casual. Serving the Lord is to be a joy and a wonderful experience in our lives. But it is serious. We have to take it as serious, not just to play with it. It means so much. It's our lives. And it's the lives of others around us. many times the way that we live, the way that we serve the Lord, has a tremendous effect on others that don't know Him. On others that don't know Him. I want to share a story with you. And it really, it's a true story. I know the people involved very much. I had a brother say to me about 2 weeks ago that he was driving through downtown Marsh Arbor. He saw a gentleman on the side of the road. He knew he was drunk, stumbling. And so he stopped and he spoke to him. And the man said, "Would you give me $3? And he said, "No, but I'll take you somewhere and buy you something to eat." He said, "I don't want anything to eat." He said, "I wanted it for, we all know what for." And so the brother said that he began to talk to him about the Lord. He said, "You know, you need to find the Lord. You need to think about the Lord. Let the Lord change your heart and life." And that man said something, and when his brother told me this, it really struck home, and it really should. He said, "I told him that the Lord could help him. The Lord can make a difference in his life." And he said to me, "If you're talking about Jesus Christ that so-and-so professes to be serving, I don't want any part of him." Now that's a sad statement. A disturbing statement, believe me. If you're talking about Jesus Christ that so, and I know the people personally that he's talking about, that I don't want any part of him. Beloved, the lives that we live reflect Jesus Christ living in us. And we have to strive. We have to know Him. We have to fear Him. We have to trust Him. We have to obey Him. Our lives make a difference. A difference, a tremendous difference. Little do we know. Our walk, our talk, the places we go, the things we do. There's always somebody there that's looking at you and I. And you and I are representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us always remember that. Let us be submissive to our Lord in giving Him our lives. Let us trust Him. Let us obey Him. Let us let Him make us better. No, we're not going to be perfect. I wouldn't dare stand there this morning and say that we're going to be perfect. Because we're still human beings. We're still in the flesh. And Satan, the seventh verse that I read here in James, he says, resist the devil. He's always there. But how do we resist him? By getting more involved in the things of God. By getting involved in the things of God. Christ lives within our hearts and lives. And as we fear him, as we trust him, as we obey him, he changes us until this personal relationship dominates. Dominates and possesses our very lives. And that's what he wants. He wants to have the control in my life. He wants to have the control in your life. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. To glorify his name in all the earth. To let our lives and our lights shine forth. We were singing in Sunday school this morning. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. And I trust that that's the desire of our hearts today. To be submissive in our relationship with God. Secondly, and we're running out of time, there must be a mutually felt relationship. There must be a mutually felt relationship. We suggested what those mutual relationships are all about as we began this morning. We know each other. We can approach each other. We share with each other. And we honor each other. That's what a mutual relationship with God is all about. We know Him. We know Him in a personal way. We feel His presence and His power and Spirit with us every day of our lives. We can approach each other. The hymn writer says, He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow way. And beloved, that's what it's all about. As we walk along life's pathway each day, to have the joy of the Lord in our hearts, to have the songs of praise on our lips, and the light of life shining forth from our eyes. Have that relationship. We share with each other. There's nothing too big or too small that you and I cannot come to God with and share with Him. And we honor each other. He honors you and I. We honor Him. A mutual relationship. You know, there are people who think about God and they long for assurance that God will smile on them, but they feel He's too selective. There are a lot of people that feel, well, God is a little too high. He's a little too far away. I can't reach Him. Oh, beloved, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you got Him here. He's here. He's within our hearts and lives. He's not far away, but He's with us always. There are some who see Him as a spirit who lives far above the winds and the pain and the emotions that blow in and out of our lives. But that's not true. That's not true about our God. He cares. He's always there. He reminds us in His Word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you always. He says, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. What better relationship could one want to have and enjoy than knowing that our God is always there and He cares about us? The Bible assures us that He feels deeply for the brokenhearted, for the weary in life, for the dejected. He cares and He understands. There are two areas in this that we want to look at briefly. The first one is, to know God is to affect Him. To know God is to affect Him. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual gifts in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us acceptable in the beloved. What a beautiful passage of Scripture. See that while God knew us and loved us, He chose us in eternity past, but yet He can relate to us in a very intimate way, in a very personal way. Beloved, this morning, He rejoices when you and I are happy. He sorrows when you and I are sad. He grieves when you and I are bad, when we disobey Him. That's something that we should keep in our mind. He rejoices when I am happy. He sorrows when I am sad. He grieves when I am bad, disobedient. The Bible tells us that God can be pleased. God can be grieved. God can be provoked, God can be burdened, and God can also be angered, agitated, and furious. And there are scripture, portions of scripture there that we don't have the time to read all of those this morning. So to know God is to affect Him. We can have an effect on God by the lives that we live. We can make Him happy if we live a happy Christian life. He can be sad in those sad moments of our lives. And also, we can hurt Him. He grieves when we disobey Him. Now it's up to us. You and I, individually and personally on the commitment that we've made to Him and the life that we're prepared to live for Him that will make our lives affect Him. Then secondly, to know God is to be affected by Him. To know God is to be affected by Him. Not us affecting Him, but Him affecting us and our lives. Think for a moment on the people that have been instrumental in changing your life for the better. Perhaps there's been somebody in your life or my life that we've known that has been very instrumental in our lives, in where we are today, the things that they taught us, the times that they took us apart and sat us down and explained to us things in life, and many other areas of life. They've been close, personal friends to us, and they've helped us along the road of life. And we can look back today and say, yes, because of so-and-so, they made a tremendous difference in my life and of where I am today. I can look back personally on a man. Brother Frank will know, maybe some of you know, and I will call his name. But this man had an impact on my life at a very early age. He, in the early ages of my life, was a man that was unsaved. He drank a lot. And I remember that man accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And he became my Sunday school teacher at an early age in my life. And that man had an impact on my life. And I learned to love that man. And whenever I would go back to Green Turtle Key, because I moved away for a long time, every time that I would go back, particularly when he got real sick and bedridden, I would go back and spend the time and enjoyed talking to that man about the things of God and about the past and the early days of my life where he was such a blessing. See, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. He's gone home to be with the Lord now. He had an impact on my life. This is what we're talking about this morning. To know God is to be affected by Him. What is true of these people in our personal lives will be even more truer of God when we allow Him to have an impact on our lives every day that we can live. No one can know God without being changed by Him. We can't say that we know God if we haven't been changed, if our lives haven't been changed somehow. There's got to be a change in my life. There's got to be a change in your life if we know God. He makes a change. There's something that's got to change. Some direction in our life. Some thoughts of our life. Some areas of our life. Yes, there are some people that aren't as violent or as bad or as difficult as others. But we all begin as sinners. And when Jesus Christ comes into our life, we're changed. And people can see that change, whatever it might be. Some great change and others just minor changes in life. But He makes that change. He affects our lives. We are changed as we discover that to know God is, number one, to love Him. Oh, beloved, to love Him. I wish that all of us, every one of us, would love Him more in our hearts and lives, would have more love for God. Really show our love for God. To give Him first place in our lives. That's another difficult area. Giving Him first place in our lives. You know, I often think, as I sit and study and read the Word of God, we have 168 hours a week. And out of that 168 hours, how much of my time do I give to Him? How much of my life do I give? Even if I gave 10% of 168 hours, 16.8 hours a week, and basically very few of us give back 16.8 hours of our lives each week back to God. We need to put Him in our lives. First place. We need to care about those He cares about.
We need to love what He loves. We need to hate what He hates. And we need to join Him in mending and rebuilding broken lives. And that's important in our world in which we live today. Everywhere we look around us, there's broken lives. There's hurting people. People need the Lord. And it's up to you and I, as believers who know Him, to share with them, to encourage them, to remind them that there is a God who loves them and cares about them. Oh, we can go on a little longer, but we're going to stop here this morning. But this, my friends, is what we need in order to develop a personal relationship with God. We've got to be submissive to His will, and there must be a mutual relationship between ourselves and our God. I pray that the Lord will bless His word to our hearts. I pray that it's the desire of our hearts as we seek to do the will of the Lord and live our lives pleasing to Him. Next Sunday, if the Lord be not come, we hope to finish this off. We're going to look at a growing relationship and a shared relationship. And then we'll have it all. Spiritual, Christ-centered, submissive, mutual, growing, and shared. And that way, we can have a close, personal relationship with our God. May the Lord bless you this morning. Thank you so much for your attention. Father, we thank You for Your word today. We pray that our hearts have been challenged this morning, Lord, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to learn to love You, to learn to obey You, to learn to put You first in everything in our lives. Give us, Lord, that courage and that strength that we need each day of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you.